Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Short Coat Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
It's the Short Coat Podcast. I'm your host. I'm a host. I'm not your host, because we're all hosts. I'm a host. I'm a host, Dave Etler. And I'm sitting here with Casey McCleary.
It's for the video.
You can also speak.
No, it's all for the video.
And over here we have Corey Christensen.
Hello.
And we have a newbie, Tay Kim. Hi, Tay.
Nice to be.
Thank you for coming. And especially since you have said that you're not feeling well, but you're giving it the old...
I've made the sacrifice.
Very good. We can tell that you're excited to be here.
Yes.
I have made... Kill me.
I convinced her. I'm very compelling when I need to be.
It's orientation week.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Wow, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
It's deeply exciting. I got to meet a bunch of new students yesterday, and I tried to video them answering some of these questions, and I caught exactly 3 seconds of each video, and it didn't work.
Did you not record audio of any of them?
I got video and audio of 3 seconds, and then it died every single time. I was so depressed. But anyway, I did meet a bunch of new students, all of whom were wonderful.
And all of whom, literally all, would be here, I'm sure, if they were not currently at their white coat ceremony.
Yeah, they're getting ready for the white coat ceremony.
Yeah.
They're getting all made up, all dolled up for the white coat ceremony.
That's a big deal, right?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Huge deal.
What did you? Yeah. Did you think it was a big deal at the time?
It felt.
Or were
like
you just like I don't.
It felt like a big deal.
Awesome. Well, that's the idea, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know. My whole family was there, and lots of pictures were taken. And
Tay's non. Plus, she was like, whatever. I put on a white coat.
My parents weren't even there, so. Kind of like, okay.
I think it made a big difference that my family was there. Like, my grandmas were there, and, like, they were all so proud. And, like, I feel like it was almost a bigger deal for my family, and that made it a big deal for me.
I think it's more for, like, the family and the supporters of the students than it is for the students themselves.
You're going to be a real doctor.
You make them oath and everything, but...
It's supposed to be about welcoming you into the
Right.
I know this is probably not the right word, but fraternity, considering I've got two lady future docs here. But anyway, the profession of medicine, the that sort of thing. So anyway, I'll be going there later because I have to man the wheelchair accessible entrance. I'm very excited.
Ooh.
Is it hot out?
Yeah, it's quite
kind of
warm.
It's humid. A little humid.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Always humid here.
But I did meet a bunch of new students, and I asked them some questions, which we could, you know, review here today. I asked a couple people how many schools they applied for, and I got some widely varying answers. Californians appear to have to apply to many, many schools.
Yes. Poor Californians. There's just too many
they
of
don't have,
them.
The explanation I got is they don't have state. They don't have guaranteed.
I'm from California.
Oh, okay.
Actually, so I applied to 28 schools, I believe.
Oh my God, Tay! How had I never heard that?
30. I heard 30 yesterday.
Yeah, no, I've heard counts up to like 35. Oh, so it's not
28.
That's so expensive.
It was a very exciting couple of months of applications.
So you're talking primary or secondary?
Both. Oh. Well, one primary that gets sent to all the schools, and then you do all of their secondary applications. Right.
So you're saying that was sarcasm? It was not very exciting applying.
Oh. Yeah. I had to take time off to just focus on applications.
And you had to travel, I'm sure?
Yes. Although I was fortunate enough to be able to kind of stop earlier than...
Okay.
I asked whether or not they had any talents or interests that their classmates didn't know about yet. I met a balloon artist.
What? I have to find this person.
That's a game changer.
Oh my God.
Don't worry, he's going to be on the show.
Sound the alarm.
New best friend. Sorry, Tay.
He has told...
He could do a balloon... what do you call it? Making? Crafting? On the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. Now that we're...
The audio for that will just be horrible squeaking.
Oh.
And I met... what did I just do? I met a... I met a guy who has many interests and who is concerned about losing all of his... Or losing his, you know, sort of capacity for... being able to pursue those interests. And I said, don't. That was my advice. Don't do that. Hey, so you could probably speak to that, right? You've got interests.
I do have a lot of interests.
Do you have interests, Tay?
Me, no, I'm a...
You have no interests.
She's super boring.
But, you know, I was thinking of your cosplay.
Okay, I wanted to clarify that. I do not cosplay. Cosplay is dressing up specifically as another character.
Oh, okay.
I did not dress up specifically as another character. I dressed up in generic steampunk.
You had a you were thematic. Is there a term for that?
I don't know.
Like a costume.
You don't do cosplay. Cosplay does
you. I don't do cosplay. No, I mean, I might if I had more time. There are a few characters that I'm like, that would be fun to cosplay. But I don't like making... I don't like sewing things and like, I don't know. I just, and a lot of cosplayers do anime stuff. I don't really like that much anime. So there's sort of a disconnect between me and like the rest of the actual cosplay community. So I don't know, whatever.
There's a lot of video game cosplay.
That's true.
Star Wars.
A lot of Kingdom Hearts. I am not going to cosplay Leia. It's been done to death.
Yeah. I went on to, I found some questions on Quora.com, which sort of was on point. For new students. So what the question was, what are some things doctors wished they did during their medical school years? And I've copied a couple down. You know, start building relationships.
Yeah.
Was one. More effort into your medical school friends than this particular person did. So, you know, love and experience your experiences fully. So I think that goes along with, you know, like, you're going to experience a lot of things. Buy into it, you know? Don't try to, you know...
Even the negative things.
Yeah.
It's worth riding that wave.
Buy a crock pot.
Sacrifice time spent studying for time spent learning, upkeeping personal interests. So right there. The theory being those are more important, I guess.
What if you only like medicine?
Then you are going to be a great...
robot.
Research. Yes, robot. Be kind to yourself. Don't deprive yourself of anything. Which I found interesting.
I mean, what does it mean by anything?
Anything was this person. Like if you want something,
I don't
buy
think
it.
That's practical.
If you want something, buy it. If you want to do something, do it.
A baby?
That is not practical.
Or is there something you want to
talk?
Is there something you want
to
tell us?
No. We're going to.
That was one of my.
Have that part in there.
I was on the student advice panel yesterday for orientation. And like the last bit of advice that I gave to people was, or the one of the last bits, was that they should be very aware of how much time they're willing to spend on a pet.
Yes.
And like how much effort they're willing to spend on a pet.
Yeah.
Because like I've seen some people have pets and they love them to death and like that is really helpful to them. And then I've seen other people who like get pets and then the pet is a constant annoyance.
Yeah.
And is just like a problem for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Or like they don't pay enough attention to it. And
if you want to leave town, you have to find a dog sitter. My sister just got a puppy and it just tore up her couch. So, I mean, you don't plan for that when you buy a puppy.
You, I feel like you really should.
You really should.
Yeah.
You definitely should. Go out and get yourself an aluminum couch.
Oh, no. Aluminum couch.
Oh, my God.
Dog-proof couch.
Keep your ego in check. I feel like that's just advice for life.
Yeah.
Plan ahead financially and consider your area of interest when you're doing your financial plans.
That could cause a little more stress, huh?
Well, no, I think if you really know your area of interest.
Well, I think the idea is you plan. So when you say plan ahead, maybe you plan ahead knowing that, you know, for the first many years of your education or your life as a in the medical field, you're not going to be making a ton of money. So make plans for that, you know. And then once you know your area of interest, then obviously you're going to change up your plans because now you know approximately how much money you're going to make and how much time you're going to have to enjoy it. Make friends outside the bubble of medicine. So
that is not an easy thing to do. Yeah. Taking a test to this.
Bagpipers.
Yeah, I've been trying.
You've been trying.
I've been trying.
Bagpipist.
I want to be friends with...
Accordions.
Accordions, that's right.
Yeah, Tay's been going on like bike ride meetups.
I basically meet random people on the internet and then we go and do things. Which sounds super
sketchy. Sounds awesome when you put it that way.
I hope nobody listens to me saying this.
No one will. No one listens. No one ever listens. Yeah, I've been thinking I'd like to be friends with Conan O'Brien and Kevin Hart, but I'm not sure.
John Stewart.
John Stewart.
Oh my God.
He's available these days.
He's got some free time now.
Hey, John Stewart on the show.
Yeah.
I'd love to Iowa.
Yeah.
I'd take him to the fair afterward.
He might just.
I would take John Stewart to the fair.
That would be awesome.
John Stewart, if you're listening, please contact us. We will take you to the fair.
Yeah, and we can introduce you to the many new Iowa State fair foods.
I will buy you as many things on a stick as you are capable of eating.
So, yes. So there's an Iowa State fair food right now. You guys can
set a good segue.
You guys can lean over here
and see.
What is it?
And check it out.
I don't know what that is.
What is it?
Can you see it?
Those are nacho. What do you call them?
Balls.
They're.
Those are nacho balls.
Correct. Those are not my balls.
Those are nacho balls.
Oh my god! I'm so clever, you guys.
Let's see. We've got toasted caramel balls.
We got a ball on a stick.
So we have oh my god! I would totally eat that.
If you want balls, come to Iowa.
I see. We.
If you want balls on a stick.
I see. We have a theme going. This is great. This is called Ultimate Bacon Explosion.
Oh
wow!
These names.
And
but what is the ultimate bacon explosion?
Well, it appears it's meat wrapped in bacon. I think it's 8 ounces of bacon wrapped brisket trimmings infused with jalapeno cheese and spices.
Coronary artery disease.
Yeah.
This is apple pie on a stick.
Okay.
What? Wow.
It looks like snot.
Yeah,
I'm not even mad. Why can't you just eat apple pie
as is?
And then we've got
a stick tay. It's fair.
I'm sorry. Is it fried?
This is corn in a cup. It's a pile of sweet corn right off the cob, along with some other stuff.
Do any
mayo? Like a lime on there. Other states it's so have fancy. That,
including mayo, which is an important Midwestern ingredient.
Yeah, I always put mayo on my corn.
I put mayo on my ibuprofen.
Slide down a little easier.
Mayo on my ibuprofen.
Do you also put it on your heart disease medication?
I have to say that Minnesota State Fairs may have us beat, though.
Uh-uh.
I don't have any pictures of these.
No, that's like our rival.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but they have the cheese, the mac and cheese cupcake.
Okay, that's weird.
Tachos, tater tot nachos, which I can get behind.
I would eat that.
I can get behind that.
It's not that weird, but I would eat it.
Prime rib to go, which is prime rib in a cone.
Like a waffle cone?
What?
It didn't look like a waffle cone. It looked like sort of like a cone of it looked
regret.
Like a cone.
Cone of regret.
A cone of regret.
Conan O'Brien.
And my favorite wine-fried kalets. Wine-fried kalets.
What even is that?
It's kale. Healthy kale.
Tiny kale?
Fried, soaked in wine and fried.
Oh, they didn't beat us. That's like, my pinkies are out. Getting all bougie over here.
I'll keep my pinky out when I'm eating steak in a cone or whatever you said.
Prime rib.
Prime rib.
Kale. I mean, okay.
Prime rib to
keep your pinky out while you eat that out of a cone.
I mean, okay. It's mostly the kale, the wine kale, which actually sounds pretty good. But, like, that's not fair food. What do they do? What are you doing, Minnesota?
Anyway, anything is fair food if it's fried.
Yeah.
Is it fried? They didn't say fried.
Wine fried kalets.
Wine.
Oh, but if you fry it in wine, that's like not the same. I'm thinking like deep fry.
I don't think
they boil it in a vat of wine.
I was not able to get the pictures, but if you go and look for wine fried kalets, of course I'll put a link on the website. You'll see that it looks very fried.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it.
We can avoid exposing our guest, John Stewart, at the Iowa State Fair to bird flu, since they won't be doing any live bird exhibits this year.
I love the birds.
Two chickens.
I see what you did there.
Master of the pun, Corey.
That was just an unpheasant pun.
Hey, you want to go there?
I'll go there.
So yesterday, in the depths of my disappointment that the videos I recorded of the new students didn't work, I got a phone call. I got a message from somebody.
Was it God?
No, it was Mitch.
Pretty close, though.
Yes. Very close. Mitch from Ontario left us a message as part of our Starbucks gift card giveaway. And because, again, he was the only person who called, he gets the gift card. Not only that, but, you know, it was a fine message. Let's...
Thank you, Mitch.
Let's have a listen here.
Hi, my name is Mitch, calling from small town Ontario in Canada. I've been listening to your podcast for a number of weeks, and I would like to call in not only to get this wonderful Starbucks card, which in Canada would be like $7 because of our shitty exchange rate, but because I've been listening to this for so long, and I kind of feel like I'm part of this podcast community with you guys, and I want to help you out. But as you guys in medicine know, not only people in healthcare or who want to be in healthcare, like me, I'm applying to schools in all over the United States and Canada. People other than that also like helping people. So I want to tell you a story about integrating patients in a community and helping them help others. So I was shadowing at a small town wound clinic at one point, and the doctor, he was charged with admitting patients at one time. So I'm going to describe two patients. The first one is a woman suffering from a chronic wound over a long time. She's very depressed and disillusioned with her the duration of her treatment. She's having a hard time getting through that. And the other was a very bright, happy, born-again Christian who really enjoyed helping people. And he was recovering from his bariatric surgery. So this doctor really implemented this strategy of compassion in putting them in the same room. So while she was being able to be comforted by this man, and he made her laugh and made her happy, he was also getting a sense of satisfaction from being able to help someone and not only being the recipient of the health care that he was receiving in this hospital. So I just thought that would be really interesting for you guys to talk about, and maybe if you guys knew of any other creative modes of compassion that you wanted to talk about on the show as well.
Thanks, Mitch. That was very nice of you to give us a call. Nice of you to listen. And that is an interesting strategy. I mean, usually people want their own room.
Yeah, well, it's very like Patch Adams, like let the patients also be doctors to each other and stuff.
I didn't realize that was something. I've never watched the movie.
Oh, really? It's pretty good. It's a good movie.
Okay.
I enjoy it.
I don't know of other efforts like that. Maybe you guys have heard of things. Huh? If any of our listeners have heard of such things, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah,
obviously.
We'll give you Starbucks.
Save it for more callers.
That's right. You can leave your message at 347-SHORT-CT, 347-746-7828. And we will play your message on the air. And until we run out of Starbucks gift cards, we will keep sending them to our callers. Thanks again, Mitch from Ontario. We're an international podcast.
Congrats.
I know. International. So special. So exciting. What was our main thing that we were going to talk about today?
Oh, well, I just happen to have that here.
Oh, well.
The Atlantic has an article about what wusses current undergrads are in terms of discussing uncomfortable topics. And obviously those wusses are going to become medical students at some point, some of them anyway.
Hooray.
Oh, and my God, is this complaining about the politically correct culture?
It is.
Oh, what a surprise.
So I wanted to talk about it because...
I'm ready for this.
Well,
I've been practicing for this discussion on Facebook my entire life.
But wait a minute. So I have a feeling I know which side you're going to come down. I don't know.
Sorry, give the intro.
I could be wrong.
I'm a little excited.
So the Socratic method, the article points out, it's a way of teaching that fosters, that's supposed to foster critical thinking through asking and considering answers to questions. And the idea is to teach people not what to think, but how to think. And questions sometimes lead to discomfort, including cognitive dissonance.
Psychology.
Yes. And even to anger. But that's kind of the point, because when you start if experiencing emotion, you tend to integrate knowledge, and you tend to understand, and you tend to consider the different sides of an issue or whatever. I think that's kind of the point. It helps with understanding and thinking. Well, these days, professors at some universities are forced to include so-called trigger warnings in their lectures. So in other words, okay, guys, I'm about to talk about something uncomfortable, so you may want to, I don't know, leave the room? I'm not really sure. But anyway, you're supposed to warn your students about these things.
Before you expose them.
Before you expose them. Before you...
This kind of takes away from it, doesn't it?
I feel like Casey might have something to say.
Okay, so here's what I'll say about trigger warnings. They can be overused, but... They are important for things that are literally traumatic to people that could cause someone to have, like, a flashback. So say you're going to talk, not just talk about rape, trigger warning.
PTSD you're talking.
Trigger warnings, in my opinion, are best used for subjects related to PTSD and to try to help those populations, even if they don't leave the room, just to give them a warning that it's coming. Mm. And are most important if you're going to talk very descriptively about something. Trigger warnings can be overused. They definitely can be, but I think they serve an important purpose, and I don't feel like we need to have a problem. I don't feel like it necessarily detracts from the conversation to warn people that they might hear about something that, like, literally traumatized them.
So, I think what you're saying kind of makes sense. I mean, it's the classic moderation in everything argument.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, exposure is, I agree completely, exposure is, like, the most important part of treatment as far as PTSD goes, right?
It is a component,
I think,
sometimes.
Depends.
So
it depends on how you're
exposed.
Warning
would definitely have to be addressed beforehand.
Yeah. Well, there's Brandeis. You know, here's another example. Brandeis University, their Asian American Student Association, recently tried to raise awareness of microaggressions against Asians and wrote some typical examples on the steps of a building on campus, including, you know, "I'm colorblind, I don't see race," and "Aren't you supposed to be good at math?" And the idea was, of course, to bring attention to, you know, the sorts of things that people say unintentionally. That's what a microaggression is: things that people do unintentionally or say unintentionally that, you know, might make people go, "Hey, jerk," I guess, right?
I think they add up over time.
Yes. In this case, there was a backlash from other Asian American students. The display itself, they said, was a microaggression, and the association had to...
Wait, what? I'm confused.
The association had to remove the exhibit, and the president of the Asian American Student Association wrote an email to the student body apologizing to those triggered or hurt by the content of the microaggressions, quote. So that's... an example, maybe, according to this article, of the this sort of thing gone wrong, I guess.
Microaggression within microaggression.
Yeah.
Meta.
Inception.
It's a little bizarre. I think universities are also they're being risk averse.
Yeah, they're very, like, financially liable, and they have a reputation to uphold. So,
well, they fear federal investigations also. Mm-hmm. We've got some Title IX issues coming up here at the University of Iowa. There was a female athletics coach who was fired. And so now there's, I guess the other day I read there's going to be a Title IX investigation. And universities have been expanding things like sexual harassment, the definition of sexual harassment, which includes verbal conduct that is unwelcome. They've been expanding that definition to include topics like race, religion, veteran status, things of that nature. So, for instance, if a comment during a class by a professor or a student is unwelcome, then that could trigger a harassment claim.
I don't like that.
Ideally, that claim wouldn't be super followed through, though. I mean, unless they said something really bad, because harassment is generally considered to be repeated exposures after you've been asked to stop.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and also very egregious ones. So hopefully that wouldn't. But it's a pain in the ass.
It's
a pain in the ass for a professor who has to then sit and think, you know, okay, I don't want to, you know, I got in trouble, or I got, you know, I have this claim against me. Now I have to deal with it, even though I think it's not going to.
I can see where it would make you nervous or, like, look bad, even if you didn't actually do anything wrong.
But do you guys see this here at medical school? Do you see this in undergrads right now, do you think?
I think I see that. I mean, as a professor, you got to be aware. You know, if I say certain swear words or something, is one of these students going to report me? Am I going to have to be a little more careful next time? And then, you know, after so many offenses or...
But what about content? Course content? Have you seen that?
No, at least not in my medical related classes.
So you haven't seen anybody like... Maybe okay, now we're going to discuss abortion, guys.
I did take a class on sex and pop culture my freshman year, which had some controversial topics, mostly towards, like, gay rights and opinions involving that, and it got kind of heated sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nobody said we shouldn't be talking about this.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like this probably comes up more in the humanities and social sciences than in a lot of the hard sciences classes that people tend to take.
I mean, there's definitely things in medicine that are talked about.
Abortion.
Abortion being one, death and dying, things mm-hmm. that could be triggers.
But not in the undergrad classes.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
As much.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I feel like there is a very small trend towards people getting mad just for the sake of being mad, just because they feel like they're supposed to be mad about something without really understanding why they're supposed to be mad about it. And that's a problem. But I don't think it's as widespread as people think it is.
Okay.
Like, I think it does happen, but I don't think it's as much of a problem as people who write articles like this.
Yeah, so you think The Atlantic is doing what media does and is manufacturing a trend, basically. Yeah.
So they specifically said undergrads?
They did. They were just talking about undergrads. But of course, you know, I like to extrapolate to medical
students. Also, wanting to be sensitive about something doesn't make you a wuss. Wanting to be aware of how your words and actions make other people feel doesn't make you weak.
But I think the point is that some students were saying we should not talk about these things.
Oh, well, they're wrong.
Okay.
They're dumb. Okay, then maybe that was a little harsh. Sorry, trigger warning. They're dumb.
Yes, trigger warning. I'm going to make fun.
Make
fun of you. All right. Well, there we go. Anything anybody wants to add to this topic before we move on?
Tay, do you have opinions?
You anything?
Tay doesn't have opinions.
Some thoughts.
Microaggression.
What?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm going to microaggression against you. Microaggress against you.
Uh-oh.
You're the only Asian on this podcast, or Asian American on this podcast right now. Do you think you would have been triggered by the Brandeis display? By the Brandeis display of quotes about, you know, typical examples on the... Did I just microaggress against you?
I don't know. I didn't feel anything. I guess you were trying hard enough. I wasn't offended.
All right. So Tay now, speaking for all Asian Americans.
That's what we do on the show.
How did this happen?
Remember when
you don't want me speaking for all Asian Americans.
Remember when we had Ben Quarshie on the show and he was like there just to talk about all our African Americans?
I don't know.
You know what came to mind, though, is Black Lives Matter. That kind of came to mind when you said microaggression. People putting signs in their yard that say that.
So why is that? Why would that be a microaggression?
I don't know. I think people think by putting up the sign, some people are saying their lives are more important, when really they're just saying...
That's like literally not what... That's such a misinterpretation. See,
it is. No, that's what I'm saying.
You're right.
You're absolutely right. And what that is, I have another example. What that is from Facebook, of course. What that is people feeling that their place in society is being usurped.
Yes.
You know?
Agreed.
So the other day I read on my Facebook feed, somebody posted this thing about how, you know, Caitlyn Jenner identifies as a woman. Well, you don't identify as a woman, Caitlyn Jenner. You've never given birth. You've never experienced menstrual bleeding. You've never blah, 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 blue. You've never done this that only women do. And I'm like, so...
Am I part dude? Because I haven't had a baby.
I replied to this thing. I said, number one, I think the author is confusing identified with and identified as. So yes, probably Caitlyn Jenner does not feel that she can necessarily identify with all aspects of being female. She does identify with many aspects of being female, but not the one specifically cited, maybe. And also, that's the exact same thing that we hear from, you know, misogynist men who are like, for instance, who are like, oh, women, you know, shouldn't be working because they're, you know, that's the male domain. I don't know. That's the male domain. That's our domain, you know, and that's not what they're saying. They're saying other things, but the fear is that they're usurping my rightful place. And says, gay shouldn't marry because
they'll ruin my marriage.
Because they'll ruin marriage.
Trans people can't choose their gender because it threatens my gender.
It's beyond me. Doesn't affect us.
It's very frustrating. There was actually another good, there was a really good article that I posted on Facebook about, it compared it to Pleasantville, that movie, the black and white movie.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the guy always comes home every day, like Leave It to Beaver style, and gets his, she makes his dinner for him and everything is perfect and great for him, but she's really unhappy. But to him, she seems happy enough. She just doesn't realize sort of what she's missing. And as the movie goes on, she realizes there's more things in life and she sort of rebels. And one day he comes home and he's not thinking about how it affects her. He like can't identify with how it affects her. He's just like, where's my dinner? Like, why is my life changing? What's happening?
Yes.
And it's really scary to him. And I have some sympathy for that, even if I don't think that it should overtake. It's not more important than these like civil rights type issues.
Nobody likes change.
But yeah, I mean, I can, it gave me a little bit more sympathy for people who resist change or feel very threatened by these changing identities, politics and stuff. I thought it was a very good
article. I read that article. It was actually a really good.
I thought it was a really good article.
Sort of the other side of the issue.
Yeah.
So there you go. Corey, did you have something you wanted to say today? Or should I come back to you?
No. So,
let me ask you a different question. Did you have something you wanted to be articulate about today?
Okay. So, a great person I know, named Kayla, which is ironically my mother's name too, showed me this article. Some scientists in Massachusetts
MGH. Mass General Hospital.
Grew monkey arms in a lab by
whole monkey arms.
Yes.
Wait, just by themselves?
GTFO.
They had, like, arms in a petri dish?
They had, like, a scaffold, I think.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So, quote, the process involves removing all cells from the fluids and detergents. Cells are then regrown and replaced using human progenitor cells, which can then develop into blood, nerve, and muscle cells.
Crazy.
And so we can post later some pictures. They're a little graphic, I suppose.
That's all right. Medical students. Pre-meds, yeah. Medical students. Yeah,
I feel
you guys
like our listeners, take it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's...
They weren't functional arms, I mean...
Yeah, so it looks like it's just the arm.
But, I mean, you couldn't, like, make them move.
I don't think so, but cells and nerve cells, you'd think...
Oh, that's potential presumably you could have made it move, but you would have had to hook it up to some sort of, like, electrical stimulation.
Yes.
That is very cool.
Yeah, sweet. So what would be, like, what are the potential implications for this? Are we going to be, like, regrowing people's limbs instead of doing prosthetics?
Ideally, that's the aim, the ultimate goal.
Do we think this would be better than just having really good functional bionic body parts?
You know, that's a good question, because I heard there is also another lab working on developing a sense of touch in prosthetic limbs, which some would argue, I mean, we could probably do more with, robotic prosthetic arms. You don't have as quite as many ethics involved with that either.
Yeah, I kind of think we could. But I don't know, maybe this would be better if you just had to regrow, like, a pinky.
Right.
Or something.
That's true.
Well, then we'll get... Like, what are you going to do with your bionic pinky? Like, pick up T really, really well. Yes! Laser pinky!
Hold out your... Your cone of prime rib.
Yeah. Laser. Somebody looked at you wrong.
Oh, that's such a spy movie thing.
Speaking of...
Man.
How is that a spy?
No, not the prime ribbon cup. Like, having something
like
that would, like,
pinky
shoot
lasers
out of your pinky. Yeah, or, like, maybe a superhero movie, like, where you have, like, a sleeping
that
dart.
That would be a really lame
like a sleeping dart. It's not the only
thing.
I am sleeping dart pinky man.
Google's, Google is in the news all the time, but this week they've been in the news, or the tech blogosphere or whatever is going crazy because they've split themselves up into Search and Alphabet. Alphabet being a series of companies which are sort of the moonshot side of Google, one of which is Google Life Sciences. It's a two-year-old health research group that was formerly within Google X Labs.
They should have split them up into Google Search and Google Destroy. Carry on.
Oh,
puns.
I don't know.
Google Life
sent the wrong message there.
You think
Aww.
So? You should be a corporate PR flag.
No, shouldn't they just?
Importantly, or more to the point, Google Life Sciences has created a disposable glucose monitoring device the size of a bandage and which connects your blood glucose levels to the cloud.
That's
and it's
kind of awesome.
Going to be very. It's supposed to be low cost. And they hope, I think they expect that it will replace the finger prick device, devices that are commonly used. And I imagine that if it's connected to the cloud, you can graph things and chart things and spot trends and all that kind of stuff. And it probably would make diabetics' lives a lot easier, I would say. So
sounds kind of wonderful.
This will be connected to some sort of app.
I think it connects to your phone or whatever. And,
right.
And
and we've discussed similar stuff with, I think, was it HIV testing before on your phone?
Oh, something like that. I know they had glucose monitor tattoos.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that, yep.
Okay. So this must be a similar principle.
I think that's super cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really nice. How expensive are they?
Supposed to be very cheap. Nobody really knows yet how much they will be, but,
technology.
Seems like the cheaper they can make it, the better, because...
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it's going to be disposable, pretty much.
Right.
So, they would have to be super cheap.
I mean, it's probably... Right. Admittedly, it's probably not going to be more expensive than one of those little, like, finger prickers and having all the scripts for that.
I would effing hate that.
Oh, my God.
Effing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, apparently you just get used to it. Like, your fingers get really calloused and you just get
so... Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
It sounds pretty awful.
I had an old boss who had a glucose... or an insulin pump long time ago, I guess what would be cool about that is if the bandage talked to the glucose pump and could fix things up that way. That's all I got for today.
I would like to put in a plug for good dental health, because I think people kind of forget about it.
Yes.
All right.
I forgot about it for many years.
Well, that's a problem.
And then I went to the dentist and they found a cavity.
Just one.
I got hard teeth, baby. I got hard teeth.
I had really good teeth for a long time, and then I got 5 cavities.
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen.
All in one fell swoop. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But that has taught me not to take your teeth for granted. This isn't even about, like, floss your teeth or whatever, because I still don't floss, but...
We're revealing our bad hygiene practices. Nobody flosses, come on.
But I had to get all these fillings, and they're like top and bottom, both sides, and they're very painful. Getting them in wasn't bad, but I keep having high spots, and I grind my teeth, so they keep moving around. So I've been on, like, a soft, squishy food diet for several weeks now, and it's really unpleasant. So, and I don't know, and, like, that just made me kind of think about teeth as a thing that we really take for granted, and just being able to eat things normally. I was also reminded of this when I was at Gen Con, because I took some of our extra food from our booth, like, afterwards, and walked it around. There's a bunch of homeless people that sit outside the convention center and just kind of hang out. That's their spot. And, like, talked to some of them and gave out. They really liked the flavored fizzy water, apparently. That was, like, the hot item.
Flavored fizzy water.
Yeah. But, like, I had trouble giving away apples and granola because some of them didn't have teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't even think about.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just one of those things that we take for granted, is that we can eat a lot, that most of us take for granted, that we can just eat whatever food we want or whatever food we need at any given time. So it just further complicates that like, oh, don't eat food, or like, just eat certain kinds of food. Like, it makes it even harder for people who can't afford to have like dentures or teeth dental care. To get food,
well,
to get healthy food.
I hope neither of us have to resort to wooden choppers.
I don't think it's going to be that bad.
Okay.
Well, but that was just a thing for people to think about, because that's kind of been on my mind, that teeth are something that I've really taken for granted for a lot of years.
So take care of your teeth. I'm very happy with the UI dental health services.
Good.
Are they who you go to?
No.
Well, students, take advantage.
Did you guys...
They couldn't fit me in. Schedule's busy. All the students are taking advantage already.
Oh, really? Okay. Take less advantage, students, for Casey.
Did you guys hear about the dentist of the year?
No.
Is this a joke?
I heard he got a little plaque.
Yes!
Jesus Christ.
I really feel like that's a good end note.
Why am I laughing? It's terrible.
That was awesome.
If you like what you heard today on the Short Code Podcast, leave us a review and some stars on iTunes or Stitcher. Oh, by the way, stay tuned after the credits, because Casey, I'm sure, will have a weird disease of the week. What did you think of today's show? Tell us at theshortcode.com, on Twitter, on Facebook. Lots of ways to get in touch with us. But if you leave a voicemail, I can play it on the air by calling 347-SHORT-CT, 347-746-7828. And until I run out of Starbucks gift cards, I'll pick one I like and send that to... Or I'll pick a voicemail message, not a gift card, that I like and send that person a Starbucks gift card. The show is made possible by the strange world we live in and a generous donation by the Carver College of Medicine Student Government and the Writing and Humanities Program. Our executive producer is Jason Lewis. Our intern is Corey Christensen. Our opening music is by Dr. Vox. And our closing music is by C2C. Talk to you in a week.
Today's weird disease of the week. Have I talked about wandering uterus?
Yes.
Have I? Yeah. Hold on. Anybody got any other ideas? I've talked about wandering spleen. This is wandering uterus.
It's okay. We love talking about wandering uterus.
I know I did flail chest. Let's see. What about vanishing twin?
Gosh, I think we might have not have covered that one.
Go for it.
Creepy one. All right.
Just the teratoma thing.
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Hold on. Obviously, this is getting edited.
We're so smooth and cool.
I forgot to. Oh, I think that one might be. Dang it. Yeah, we did that one.
We don't have to do one.
No.
Nope.
We have to do one.
Crap.
More ideas.
What about the what is that called where you have the horn growing out of the head?
That sounds like a great one.
Wow. That does sound like a great one.
Wow. That sounds
Hey,
terrific.
Maybe you should do it. Here, I'll look it up.
Me? No, I'm like sickly.
You made it through
like
almost the whole thing.
I know, and then I died.
Oh my god, that sure is a horn. That one looks like a penis.
Lean back a little. There you go.
Cutaneous horn.
Yeah, that's what I see. Cutaneous.
Okay. All right, here's a cool one, courtesy of Tay. Cutaneous horns. They're unusual keratinous skin tumors that look like horns. So some of them actually, like, stick straight out of people's heads and are kind of pointy. They've seen some other pictures where they're, like, floppy and sort of awkwardly phallic looking.
Is this what Hellboy has?
No, he's like an actual demon.
Oh, sorry.
God, read the comics.
Sorry.
I just cutaneous horns.
Cutaneous horns. Thanks.